Keep your eye on the red bullseye. Yes, keep your eye on the red bullseye. Keep your eye on Lucky Strike.
L-S-M-F-T.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco.
American.
Fine tobacco is what counts in the cigarette. And
L-S-M-F-T.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco.
And fine tobacco means real deep-down smoking enjoyment for you. So
keep your eye on the red bullseye. Keep your eye on Lucky Strike.
And smoke that smoke of fine tobacco, Lucky Strike. So round, so firm, so fully packed, so free and easy on the draw.
From Hollywood, Lucky Strike presents the Jack Paar program with Trudy Irwin, the Paige Cavanaugh Trio, Jerry Fielding in the orchestra, yours truly, Hi Averback, and starring America's new young humorist, Jack Paar.
Thank you very much. This is Jack Paar. Hello, and a special message to Gabriel Heater.
What good news?
Well, this has been quite a week. An Englishman, John Cobb, drove his car 400 miles an hour up in Utah on the salt flats. I don't want to alarm anyone, but yesterday I saw a couple of hot rod drivers sprinkling salt on Santa Monica Boulevard. The Veterans Administration said this week that some of the houses being built for veterans were too flimsy. This made one builder so mad that he stamped his foot through the floor of a GI house he was building and walked out through a wall. No silent laughing out there now. You're just going to smile, make some noise. That's all I ask. Let's see. I read in the paper where the cost of food is to go still higher. Some families are giving up meat because they're afraid that steak is habit-forming. Here in Hollywood, all the drugstores are giving away free trips. I know a woman who won a free trip to Hawaii. All she had to do was shovel coal both ways. And fashions are still in the news, I see. Women who wear those new pinched-in waists are receiving special awards. The Order of the Purple Face. This week, a big economy wave was started in motion picture business. Things are so bad that Warner's had to let one brother go. Over at MGM, they had to lay off Leo the Lion. From now on, when MGM Pictures open, Louis B. Mayer just comes out and shrugs his shoulders. One reason for all this Hollywood economy is the 75% tax imposed by the British on our movies. I have an idea that's even better than cutting down on money. Why not cut down on movies? Since we get only 25% of the profits, why not just send England only 25% of each picture?
But Jack, what only 25% of a movie sound like?
I have a back. It's questions like that makes radio possible. If my plans go through, an English moviegoer will sit in the RKO Piccadilly and hear...
The following cinema is a presentation of 20th Century... Lana Turr and Tyrone Powell in Mother Wore Tight.
Darling, will you be my...
Yes, dear. You and I were made for.
Dearest, you've made me so very.
When will we be?
Not today, but to...
Wait, here comes my jealous fiance.
So, what are...
We're just...
Now?
No, to...
Jenna, you must be out of yours.
But I'm madly in.
With this income?
You may be bigger than, but watch your...
You'll never get away with...
We will. Darling, put your arms around mine.
Watch out, he's carrying it concealed.
You'll never get away with...
Look, he's got it. Nice.
Oh, man.
Well, remember, there's only 14 more shopping days until Jack Benny returns. You all remember Jack Benny?
Oh, Jack, when Benny comes back, what happens to us? I'm used to high living. Suede shoes, argyle socks, every night ping pong at the Y.
Jack, I can't give all that up.
Hi, I've got good news for you. Don't turn in your paddle yet.
Our option has been picked up, and we're to continue for Lucky Strike over another network.
You know, I'm unique in radio. I have the only contract written on a tobacco leaf. And that man you've seen staring at the leaf is the sponsor's lawyer looking for the loophole. All the big comedians are coming back. Eddie Cantor, Amos and Andy, Seven McGee and Molly, Frost Warnings, everybody. I just found out a very strange thing about Eddie Cantor. Do you know why he's always popping his eyes? When he was a kid, he was too poor to afford bubble gum. You have to make it so unanimous. Musical shows are coming back too high. My favorite is Silk Patani with Evelyn and her magic.
That magic what?
Who knows? Every time I look at it, it disappears. And speaking of music, if you'll turn up your radio and turn down Junior, you may be lucky enough to hear the whispering voices of the Paige Cavanaugh Trio. This trio is composed of three excellent musicians. I know they're musicians because all their clothes are made that way.
This word that I'm about to give you, oh my, when I look in your eyes, my heart tells me you and I could get together. I'm about a little kiss to see you. Just keep it, never miss to see you. What do we do to keep our hope and hope to see you? Please be mine.
Ladies and gentlemen, it isn't often that we have Lula Bankhead on this program, and tonight is no exception. And it isn't often that we have the winner of the Atlantic City Beauty Contest, Miss America, but we do have the loser. May I present Mrs. Gertrude Hutch? Well, the Miss Hutch, that is. Miss Hutch, is it true that you lost out in the Miss America Beauty Contest?
When I be here, if the judge used an honest tape measure.
Miss Hutch, the Atlantic City Beauty Contest has been over for a couple of weeks now. It's taken you quite a while to get back to California.
I came back by boat.
I see.
It was pretty tough going through Arizona.
Yes, it is rather shallow around Tucson. But tell me, Miss Hutch, just where were you in the beauty contest?
I was third.
Oh, who was first and second?
Bing and Barry.
Oh, yes, Bing and Barry. I saw their new picture, Welcome Stranger, or Going My Way with Penicillin. Miss Hutch, I understand the title of Miss America was won by a Miss Memphis.
Miss Memphis. Hump. They should have chosen me. Look, here's a picture of me in a bathing suit. It's one of them new McAdam bathing suits.
McAdam bathing suit?
Yeah. Hot stuff, huh, Max?
Yes, sir. What does that sign on you say? Oh, yeah, slippery when wet, huh?
sign on the back, too.
What does it say?
Watch out for rocks on pavement.
Miss Hutch, how does one become a beauty contestant? Would you mind telling us something of your background?
Well, I started at the bottom of the ladder.
Were you a fireman?
No. I won a beauty contest at the bartender's convention. I was chosen Miss Martini of 1941. With an onion instead of an olive.
The bartenders loved you, huh? I'll bet you had some figure.
Oh, boy, I was rushed. The next beauty contest I won was in Paris, you see. I wore a French bathing suit, consisting of three handkerchiefs, two of which I was wearing.
What about the third handkerchief?
I had a cold.
Oh.
A little later, I was arrested.
Why?
My cold got worse.
Miss Hutch, I understand that a lot of you beauty contest girls are models. Is that true?
Oh, yeah. You know that advertisement for Taboo Perfume where that guy with the fiddle is grabbing the grail and hugging and kissing her?
You were that girl?
Yeah. I had to get a lawyer.
Why?
To make him give me back my fiddle.
Oh. Didn't you appeal to Petrillo?
Certainly. But his wife was watching us.
I see. Well, so much for collective bargaining. Miss Hutch, I've heard that many models start out at an early age.
Oh, yeah. When I was a little baby, my folks took my picture lying on a cake of ice.
Don't you mean lying on a bearskin rug?
No, a cake of ice. I was spoiled.
Oh. Well, I can't understand why you didn't win the Miss America contest. You look pretty well thought out now.
Thanks. Yeah, but you see, it was politics. You take all them other girls, the whole 48 of them, mix them all together, put them in a dark room, and what do you got?
I don't know, but it sounds like fun. Miss Hutch, before you go back to your trailer, tell me, have you ever won a big-time beauty contest?
I should say I have. Only last week, in the thriving little community of 29 Palms, I was elected Miss Paper Bag Over the Head of 1947. And by a strange coincidence, my future husband was one of the judges.
Not really.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, he's here tonight.
Oh.
Yeah. Mr. Parr, may I present the late George Ackley?
Which way is Hollywood in mind?
Well, you're going to marry a beauty contest winner. Huh?
Mystery Bob. I lived in California for 96 years, man and boy. The both of us. Oh. You want to see my picture, Lillian Russell?
No, I don't think I am.
Jane Russell?
No, I don't.
Andy.
George, please forget them. You're going to marry me.
Well, I appreciate very much your coming tonight, and I hope you two will be very happy.
Thank you, Mr. Brenneman. Say, after the wedding, we're going on a little trip to Niagara Falls. Lots of our friends are coming along. Why don't you join us?
Well, that's very kind.
We'll bring something round. We'll have a ball.
Thank you, and good night.
Keep your eye on the red bullseye. Yes, keep your eye on the red bullseye. Keep your eye on Lucky Strike.
L-S-M-F-T.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco, and fine tobacco is what counts in the cigarette. Lucky Strike presents The Man Who Knows. Mr. Bryce Leach, independent tobacco buyer of Glasgow, Kentucky, has been an eyewitness at the auctions for years. Recently, Mr. Leach said,
at auction after auction, I've seen the makers of Lucky Strike buy ripe, fine-tasting leaf, tobacco that makes a top-quality smoke.
And that's not all, for as Mr. Leach also said,
I've smoked Lucky myself for 16 years.
And as Lucky Strike smokers say,
that's my kind of a cigarette. Real smooth smoking.
Keep your eye on the red bullseye. Keep your eye on Lucky Strike. And remember,
L-S-M-F-T.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco.
So smoke that smoke of fine tobacco, Lucky Strike. So round, so firm, so fully packed, so free and easy on the draw.
Keep your eye on the red bullseye. Keep your eye on Lucky Strike.
Looking now at center stage, we find Jerry Fielding standing on the podium with only a music rack between him and the orchestra. The music rack is the one with the shoulders. Next, we find our lovely vocalist, Trudy Irwin. The only thing between Trudy and the orchestra is the microphone. The microphone is the one with the long neck. Ready, Trudy?
Just a minute, Jack.
Yes?
Well, every week for the past 17 weeks, you've made some little joke in my introduction.
You didn't care for them?
Well, Jack, just this once, I'd like to have a nice, dignified introduction. You know, the way they introduce Lily Pond.
Oh, certainly, Trudy. Is that what you want, Rennie?
Just this once.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, it's my privilege to present one of the world's finest voices, Lily Pond. Sing, Lil.
Wonderful, marvelous, you should care for me. Awful night, paradise, what I love to see. You've made my life so glamorous. You can't blame me for feeling amorous. Oh, wonderful, marvelous, that you should care for me. Oh, it's wonderful, marvelous, that you should care for me.
As an educational feature, we bring you a Jack Parr's Eye View of the domestic scene entitled, This is America? Today, Volume 1, September 1947, a look at American farms and farming.
One of America's foremost industries is agriculture. What is agriculture? Let's examine the word. Agri is from the Latin agrus. Cult is from the Greek cultura, and cur is from the Latin terratum. Put them together, and the little translation is,
Howdy, Zeke. You think the pugs will get the potatoes?
Time was when the farmer had to scratch a meager living from the soil, fighting drought, storm, pestilence, and traveling salesmen. But today, the American farmer is rolling in wealth. Yet, despite all his money, the farmer still uses his faithful old plow horse. Of course, these days, the horses are riding around on tractors. And in the fields of waving grain, you don't see any more corn silk. Now it's nylon. The American farm of today is completely mechanized. Threshing machines. Harvesting machines. Tractors. Mixmasters. To know why farmers are making so much money, we have only to look in the fabulous Chicago Grain Exchange, where millions of bushels of wheat are bought and sold each day.
I'll take 50,000 bushels of wheat.
Give me 100,000.
I'll buy 250,000 bushels.
500,000.
500,000 bushels?
That's unheard of. Never before has so much wheat been purchased by one private party. Pardon me, madam. Why are you buying so much wheat?
My husband is crazy about bread pudding.
Now we know why the farmer is making money hand over haystack. Let's talk to a typical American farmer. In our studio today is one of the nation's wealthiest, Mr. Cyrus B. Hiram.
Howdy, Bubby.
Cyrus B. Hiram, huh? Mr. Hiram, what's the bee for?
Well, I'll know in the fall, Bubby. I just planted it.
I see. Mr. Hiram, you're really a successful gentleman farmer, aren't you?
No, you're right as a jackrabbit, Bubby. A real gentleman farmer. Don't ever plow without wearing a tuxedo.
A tuxedo, you can't be serious.
No, why not? My horses wear tails. That's a joke, boy. I'm cooking with gas.
If that's a joke, you're inhaling it. Now, tell us, Mr. Hiram, to what do you owe your success as a farmer?
To moving.
Moving?
Mm-hmm. Yep. In the place I used to live for 15 years, I just couldn't raise a thing. Tried corn, but it wouldn't grow. Tried potatoes, they wouldn't grow. Tried wheat, rye, oats, cotton, alfalfa, and didn't have a speck of luck. Just couldn't raise one successful crop.
That's too bad. Where were you living?
The Ambassador Hotel.
I've been there. I couldn't even raise a bellboy. But now do you have a regular farm
to? Oh, it's your place in the state, Bubby. Tourists come from all over to see it. Had one there this morning, city feller. First time you ever seen a cow.
That's unusual. What are you, be impressed?
Scared stiff. Took one look at the cow, then started yelling, "Run for your lives! He's carrying a bomb!" Come on, Bubby. See you later.
There's no doubt about it. Today, farming is big business, and the American farmer, Nouveau Riche. Nouveau Riche, that is...
Oh, do you think Boggs will get the potatoes?
Statistics show that farmers are making more money this year than ever. This worries me. If their profits continue to soar, I'm worried there may come a time when life on the American farm will sound something like this.
Where's that newfangled butler? Freakins!
Did you call, madam?
Well, I sure did. We're gone.
12 noon, madam. I was just going to waken the rooster.
Oh, forget it. Freakins, let the poor bird sleep. He'll soon wake up and crow.
Well, madam, you forget. Thomas does not crow. He has chimes.
Chimes? I thought that was good humor, man.
No, madam, the good humor man crows. Incidentally, do you recall the little hen who lays an egg every day?
Yeah, what about her?
Well, this morning she laid 4. She wants to spend the weekend in Las Vegas.
Now, isn't it amazing what money can do?
No, indeed, madam. Our other chickens are so independent, they're just laying shells and setting them out to be filled.
Sure must be a tough job for you.
Oh, no, madam. I'm very clever. We're having trouble with the Plymouth Rocks, too. They won't even lay shells.
Well, what do they lay?
Rocks. Diamonds, of course.
I bought my omelet this morning.
Ooh, that omelet sparkles.
Hey, by the way, Breakins, where's my husband?
Well, he drove out to the cornfield with Adrian, madam.
Adrian, the famous fashion designer?
Yes, madam. Adrian's giving the scarecrow a fitting.
Well, I hope he returns before our daughter arrives. She's coming home today from agricultural school.
Oh, yes, madam. Shall we give her a homecoming party?
Well, now, that's a darn good idea, Breakins. What do you think you ought to do?
I have it. We'll turn the cow upside down and light the candle.
Hey, Brinkins, look, ain't that my husband coming up the road now?
Why, yes, madam. That's the master and his 2 footmen.
Oh, what car is he riding in today?
No car, madam, just 2 footmen.
Oh, I'm so glad you're back, darling. How about little kiss?
Certainly, give it to Brinkins. I'll pick it up later.
Oh, come on. Just give me a little one now. Here in my hand.
Darling, must you wear your charm bracelet in the house?
Sir, permit me to congratulate you on the new pig pen. But isn't it rather unusual for each pig to have his own pen?
In times like these, Brickens, every pig has his own pen.
Yes, sir, but the Parker 51...
Dear, here's our daughter, Clotilda.
Well, welcome home, daughter.
How did you like agricultural school?
It was simply splendid.
Darling, darling, is Western Aggie really a good agricultural school?
Good? Why, Mater, it's another Wellesley with pitchforks.
It's good to have you home, Clotilda. Put on your silver fox overalls and we'll take a look around.
That would be super, Peachy. You know, Peter, now that we're so rich, I suggest we don't use water for irrigation anymore.
Well, we use on our crops.
Chanel number 5, of course. Next fall, we'll have the sexiest radishes on the market.
Fantastic. Where'd you get that idea?
From my old Professor Simpson. He said, in Latin, of course, Pluribus vobiscum veritas unum hoc, plus potes est. Which means,
causes heat, you think the potatoes will get the balls?
So there you have it, friends. Farmers are wealthy. In closing, let us find out how they got that way. Take the case of farmer Irv Wagner of Dolphin County. 10 years ago, Irv Wagner was bankrupt. Today, he's worth thousands, and all with a meager 20 acres. Mr. Wagner, sir, how did you make so much money with so little land?
I turned it into a used car lot.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's a message from the U.S. Department of State. Every American can help to alleviate the critical food shortage in Europe by making a voluntary financial contribution to CARE. That's CARE, C-A-R-E, a nonprofit organization that turns your money into food and distributes it to Europe hungry. Give now and save a life. Send your contribution to CARE, C-A-R-E, CARE, New York. Thank you.
Jack Paul will be back in just a moment, but first,
keep your eye on the red bullseye. Keep your eye on Lucky Strike.
L-S-M-F-T.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. Lucky Strike presents the man who knows, Mr. Thomas Ray Oglesby of Winterville, North Carolina. Recently, this ace tobacco auctioneer said,
at all the markets I've attended, I've seen the makers of Lucky Strike buy fine tobacco, right mile leaf.
Season after season, experts like Mr. Oglesby, men who really know tobacco, can see the makers of Lucky Strike consistently select and buy that fine, that light, that naturally mild tobacco. So, keep your eye on the red bullseye. Yes, keep your eye on the red bullseye. Keep your eye on Lucky Strike. And remember,
L-S-M-F-T,
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. So smoke that smoke of fine tobacco, Lucky Strike. So round, so firm, so fully packed, so free and easy on the draw.
Tune in next week to the Jack Parr Show with Trudy Irwin, Jerry Fielding in the orchestra, and yours truly, Hi Everback. Jack Parr is under contract to RKO Pictures, and his latest vehicle may be seen as a...
Jack, where can your latest vehicle be seen?
In the NBC parking lot.
Good night, everybody.
Don't forget, friends, for the tops of the radio entertainment, set the dial to NBC Wednesday night for that thrilling newspaper drama, The Big Story. And on Saturday night, don't miss your hit parade with Doris Day, Axel Scordo, the Ken Lane Chorus, and starring Frank Sinatra.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.